Yo, 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 welcome back to the Snatch Edges podcast. I'm your host Ebony, your friendly neighborhood trichologist and hairstylist, teaching you how to have a healthy head of hair, you know, great scalps, and all that good stuff. Sorry, I just lost myself for a second there. Between the thunderstorms in London, my neighbours deciding they want to spend the day doing DIY. This is probably going to be quite a short and sweet episode because there's probably going to be mad background noise. So if you hear anything, I apologise. I will try and cut it out, but let me get straight into it. So this week, for those of you who follow me on Instagram, I shared a picture of one of my clients who is suffering from a severe case of traction alopecia, and I opened up my DMs to say, you know, if you have this problem or anything, let me know. And I got quite a few people like, oh my god, help me, my edges are falling out. And yeah, so I just wanted to quickly talk about traction alopecia, what it is, the causes, and what you can do if you are experiencing it on any way, shape or form, and hopefully not getting to the stage of the picture that I put up. So in simple terms, alopecia is basically just a word for loss of hair, and there's different types of alopecia. Alopecia areata, universalis, totalis, but we are focusing on the type caused by traction. And traction is any type of pulling force. So what traction alopecia means is hair loss due to a pulling force. That could be from braids, from weaves, from tight ponytails, from, you know, getting into a fight with your side bae's main girlfriend and she pulls out your hair. Those are all forms of traction alopecia. And most people think that they just occur around the edges or the hairline. You know, like the famous saying, as this podcast is named over after, snatched edges. But it doesn't just occur at the hairline. It can occur on anywhere on your head or scalp. Anywhere on your head or scalp. That doesn't make sense. Well, actually, you possibly could get traction alopecia on your beard. But I don't know any boys who are braiding their beards, so let's just keep it to the scalp for now. And so doing these styles repeatedly, and they're really, really common in the black community because we do a lot of things to our hair that aren't necessarily the greatest. Like, I don't know if I said it on the podcast before, but I had my hair really short for a long time, and I'd be walking up and down Peckham High Street, and if you've ever been to Peckham in South London, you know that there's women that will solicit you to do your hair. It's like a red light district for hairdressers. They'll come up to you and be like, babe, do you want to do hair? Do you want to do your hair? And it's just like, no, thank you. I'm fine. My hair is done. I think I actually look quite cute today. But yeah, they will just disrespect you like that. And so my hair was like maybe a level 2, level 3. And someone came up to me in the hair shop. I was like, oh, you want to do your hair? I was like, no, thank you, auntie. I'm fine today. I was like, in fact, I don't even have any hair for you to do. And she's like, ah, I can pick it. I can pick it. And I'm thinking, babes, you are the kind of person that you need to stay, like, people need to stay away from. They'll just be, you know, braiding your thoughts and your dreams together, like, weaving you a whole new identity. Like, it's not that. You need to just really relax. Like, if it's not, you know, longer than an inch, it doesn't need to be inside a braid. And so what a lot of people end up doing is that when they have these air quote protective styles done, such as, like, you know, our braids, our weaves, our cornrows, our twists, anything that like puts tension on the hair, we can end up falling into the traps of using harsh products to even do the style. So I know a lot of people use like beeswax, gels, you know, heavy styling creams, that some of them contain alcohol or anything that could like dehydrate the hair and the scalp. Using elastic bands at the root is another big cause of tension, and even just, you know, trying to get every single hair in place. Now, braids can be expensive, or getting your hair done can be an expensive and timely process. So I know that if you feel like, listen, I spent, you know, upwards of £50 on this style, it has to last me the next 3 months, you're putting your hair in jeopardy by doing that. And I don't want to make it seem like, you know, it's all someone's fault, for like it's all your own fault if you're experiencing hair loss, because it's not always the case. But there are things you can do to minimize the risk or the chance of hair loss occurring. And so it's about thinking about all of these steps. And like, don't worry, I've done it too. I remember when I went to Nigeria, I had a million braids done. It's like, I feel like they do extensions on every individual strand of hair. It's very, very ridiculous. And getting to school, my mum was like, ah, that's your style for, like, you know, September to December. That was gonna be it. And I remember going back to secondary school and people being like, Ebony, why is there white dots on your head? And it's because literally you could see like the roots of my hair. The braids were so tight and so heavy, it literally just pulled out all of my hair. And I just did my best to like try and gel down my baby hairs, but them white little dots were shining from miles away. You could just see it, and it was very just distressing. Luckily for me, my edges recovered. They weren't permanently damaged, but I know people that, you know, one time can take them out of the game. And other people, it's a gradual, it's a slow process. So it doesn't have to be, you know, you've got tight braids today and then tomorrow you're bald. It could be you've done it for 10 years and on that 101th time you've got your braids done, your hairline is finally giving up the ghost. And it's like, yeah, I've had enough, you know, you don't treat me right. I'm about to just pack my bags and, you know, recede because it's safer back there for me. So yeah, taking chances at that. And one of the main questions I got was, what can I do when I'm experiencing hair loss of this kind? So if you notice that, you know, your hairline's getting a bit thinner or there's any areas all over your scalp that you feel like you're having problems with because of traction alopecia, the best thing you can do is to stop all styling. And I know some of you are gasped, you're clutching your pearls, this girl is mad, you're about to turn off the podcast now, like, okay, so if I can't do, like, you know, extensions or weave or braid or nothing, what can I do? You literally have to leave your hair alone. I can't put in any simpler terms. You need to give your hair follicles time to rest and recover. So I think I've mentioned before that your hair goes through a cycle. Each hair will go through a distinct cycle. There's three stages to it: anagen, catagen, and telogen. So there's a growing phase, a resting phase, and then the phase where it drops out, and then the process starts all over again. So when you have traction alopecia, your hair's been forced out. And so it has to go through that resting stage again for a new bulb to develop and a new hair to come through. So if you're constantly styling, loads of the hairs are going into telogen phase. They're going into that being pulled out stage and your hair can't replenish itself quick enough. Now, this process can take anything from, like, you know, a couple of months on some of your hair cells on, like, your body, like eyebrows, eyelashes, you know, arm hair, those kind of things. They've got a quick cycle. But on your head, the average is probably about 4 or 5 years. And you don't want to be pushing too many of your hairs back into that phase so that it's taking, like, you know, 5 years for your edges to grow back. Now, it doesn't have to take that long, but you do need to allow your hair time to rest. So in that time, get used to wearing headscarves. And also that could be a problem as well, because you don't want your headscarf to be too tight or have friction in the areas that, you know, you're worried about. Always make sure that it's satin lined or you have like another bonnet or something underneath. Just allowing your hair to breathe. Like if you've got a job where you don't feel comfortable wearing your hair out or you're worried that, like, you know, the hair loss is quite prominent, it's showing a lot, having a wig, you know, it's 2018, we're not scared about wearing wigs anymore. It's like commonplace, they're cool, they're good quality. You can get a few, even synthetic wigs these days are like doing really, really good. It's a great way to change up your style and to give your hair a rest. Other things you can do to stimulate the hair to grow back are using good quality products. So I don't know, this one's a bit iffy for me because I'm always seeing online companies selling oils and growth serums and stuff like that that's supposed to give you rapid hair growth and, like, you know, taking all kinds of pills and potions. But I think just having a good solid regime rather than looking at items that are going to promise you hair growth, because on average your hair's not going to grow more than half an inch a month. So anything that's telling you it's going to, like, grow back your edges instantly in 2 weeks, in 2 months, they're lying. It's not going to happen. When you see real hair loss specialists at work and you see their before and after pictures, you're expecting to see about 9 to 10 months at least. So you have to have that reasonable time frame in mind. If you see anyone that's telling you, yeah, this is 2 weeks growth, you know, 6 days later, it's a fraud and I wouldn't trust it, because there's nothing that can push your hair to grow that quickly. Otherwise, they would literally be billionaires and everybody would be using it. It wouldn't be some small, you know, I made this in my kitchen kind of remedy. One of my qualms that some people use, and I'm just like, if it's for you, then cool, but I don't suggest it to my clients, is Jamaican black castor oil. Now, I know that this is always talked about in terms of regrowth of hair, especially in traction alopecia or where damage has occurred, or to get thicker, fuller hair. I just think that thing looks like syrup, and I'm like, it's literally clogging all of your pores on your scalp. Like, it's, I personally feel it's too thick. And other trichologists I've spoken to do also shy away from using it. So if you have some at home and it's worked for you, continue, ignore my advice, because you know, you clearly know what you're doing. But if you are wondering, should I go out and purchase, I feel like it can also lead to a lot of other issues as well, like scalp problems, because people will be putting too much on. Like in general, I don't like putting oils on the scalp, because a lot of people have like dry, itchy, flaky conditions or yeast conditions where their oils are literally just feeding what the problems are, and so they end up with like in a recurring cycle of like, you know, dry, itchy scalp, inflamed scalp, and then they put more oil on it thinking that that's going to help, and it just makes it worse. But then they keep on adding more oil, and that's a topic for another day. But if you have traction alopecia, what you should first do is identify what could be causing it. So is it that you wear tight caps, your wigs are too tight, your braids are too tight? Like, you shouldn't have a facelift or have to take paracetamol after you have your braids done. When you are sitting in the chair and you feel like it's too tight, you tell your hairstylist straight away, be like, listen, auntie, sis, sister, you know, whoever, whatever pet name you have for them, you tell them it's too tight. And if they say yes, you know, it's, I wanted to make it look fine, you tell them no, I don't want to be bald. Ebony said, it's not that deep. It's never, ever, ever that deep. Like, just tell them, like, loosen up. Like, I've had loads of clients tell me, listen, Joey, can you redo that plait again? It's too tight. And if that person's pressed for time, you have to think, is the health of your hair their priority? Or is it just making like a fire pick for Instagram? Because we see all of those pictures, you know, with the swooped edges, and it looks and it lays fantastically. But then I'm like, I can literally see what you're thinking, because every hair is pulled in and it just looks so painful to see. And then when people tell me that they have to sit up or they can't sleep the first night, I'm like, no, my clients don't experience that. They can put their hair up in a bun straight away. There is no kind of tightness. Like, you have to have gentle, soft hands. And people will be like, oh, it doesn't last as long, it doesn't look as neat. That's fine. But I know that my clients are going to have long, healthy hair in the long run, not just, you know, a style for a couple of weeks and then they're having problems with shedding or breakage or, you know, losing all of their hair because of a great style for whatever reason. Yeah, what else can I say about traction alopecia? So if you are worried about it, or if you notice any tension bumps, any white dots on the hairs where like the hair has been ripped out completely and you can see the root of it, or if you're just noticing that, you know, like you have pictures and you're thinking, okay, maybe my hairline isn't looking as thick, or there's areas where like if I braid from a certain area, like the partings are getting wider, definitely hold off on all styling. Again, I know that you're probably cussing me out, like, now this girl doesn't know what she's talking about, whatever, whatever. But I'm telling you, you just have to just leave it alone. That's the only way to make sure that it won't get any worse immediately. And then finding someone to talk to. So sometimes, I know when I was a hairstylist before I studied trichology, we kind of see a lot of clients with conditions and we assume that we know what the cause may be because we, like, you know, we deal with hair a lot. But there's, when you study trichology, it opens up a whole new level of understanding to you. It's not to say that stylists are ignorant or anything like that. It's just that they just haven't studied it. And it's not even anything like a downside on their part. It's just in their job, they're not trained on these things. Like, I wasn't trained on a lot of the hair scale. Like, we learn about the science of things, but we didn't go into anywhere near the depth that you need to understand how these conditions occur or what you can do to solve them. So I would say you have to find a local trichologist, because your stylist, they're going to be limited in what solutions they can offer you, and their understanding of like the chemistry and the biology of what is happening. So you can use the Institute of Trichologists or the International Association of Trichologists. I'll put both links to websites below, but they will have a list of qualified trichologists who have been through their training, who are certified by them, who are accredited by them, and wherever you are in the world, there'll be someone that's local to you. So those are the two ones that I know like do like the majority of trichology training. All of these other places, I can't really vouch for them, but those two I know have the best standard in terms of dealing with hair loss and hair and scalp issues. So definitely have a look on their website, find someone who's local to you, and it is costly, but you will receive so much information and knowledge and a real understanding for what your hair wants, what it needs, and how to best treat it to make sure that any issues you are facing can be dealt with in an appropriate manner. So yeah, I feel like the noise is about to start, so I'm going to cut it short there. I will probably do another blog post on this to kind of summarize again. But if you have any questions, if you have alopecia and you're wondering, okay, I'm in London, I need someone to talk to, my email is info@ebonyajedwa.com, and I will post the links below where you can book a consultation with me or find out more. Remember, hair loss doesn't have to be something that you feel shamed or embarrassed about. It happens to the majority of people, whether it's self-inflicted or a result of, you know, hormonal, emotional stress, anything like that. There's loads of reasons for it, but most of them can be solved if they're dealt with early. This isn't something you have to feel that, you know, you can't talk to people about, because that's when it becomes a problem that becomes permanent, and then there are no solutions further down the line. Whereas if you catch it early, your chances of growing back a full head of hair are so much higher. So, you know, don't ignore the problem. Don't feel like you are alone. There's always somebody that can help you. And there's so many people that have gone through situations like this who've been able to, like, get the right help. And there's people who have left it and let it get to a really serious point where, you know, their hair's never going to grow back and they have to find alternative methods of styling. So, yeah, if you are currently struggling with traction alopecia, if you've come through it, you know, share your comments on my last post on Instagram. You'll see it's a lady with, like, a lot of her hair missing around her hairline. And yeah, that's it from me. I will be back next week with a new topic for you guys. So until then, take care and, you know, keep your edges intact. All right then, take care. Bye-bye.